It's always a joy to be in your midst this morning or this afternoon. And let's, before we open God's word, let's bow our hearts and heads in prayer. Father God, we come into thy presence. Indeed, we are always in thy presence when thou art in us through your Spirit. We thank thee so much, Heavenly Father, for the work of the Spirit. We thank thee so much for this morning's message, the divine nature that thou hast given to us, and the divine power through that divine nature to be servants of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Father God, thou art a great God, and thou art the chief shepherd of our lives. And as we open thy word, we pray a blessing upon the reading and the meditation thereon. In Christ's name we do pray this. Amen. With the help of the Lord, I'd like to read from the Gospel of John, chapter 10. It's the meditation that I've been going through in our home church in Mansfield. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. Jesus is speaking here. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but cometh up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it up again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. And I have power to lay down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Let me go down to verse 25. Jesus saith unto them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. And as I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. I'd like to conclude reading with verse 30. As you and I contemplate this chapter, it is a chapter of massive comfort. John is writing of Jesus' speakings about how there is such a comfortable and such a wonderful Savior who is the shepherd that cares for the sheep. And I think we have a hard time in living here in America really grasping the totality of this, because comfort is our middle name. We search to be comfortable. We search to be relaxed. Even as the temperature is rather cool outside, I'm sure some of us, in order to maximize the comfort that we have, and this is no disparagement towards maximization of comfort, this is just an observation. Some of us might have had the air conditioning on because we were a little warm. And some of us might have been worried about the toxic level of promaya that was blaring at us somewhere. And so we put on some coat or something, or we jostled ourselves and moved us away so we wouldn't get that, because comfort is key. We have a safety of our homes, locks on our doors. Each of us generally has a job that supplies us income to survive, and we do well. And we do so well that the scripture says that we are able to distribute. Every man should have a job. Every woman should. Every man in particular should have a job to be able to distribute to those that are in need. That's the calling to which we are called. And so when we read something like this, it's a little bit hard to grasp because we do have it so well. We don't have to fight for every part of our sustenance and our being like it was 2,000 years ago, like it even was 1,500 years ago or 500 years ago. Life was not easy. There were robbers that were waiting. Disease was waiting. And so if we bear this in mind, that even though we are doing well, even though we are protected, even though we feel sufficient within ourselves and our financial and our protection that we have physically, we need to bear in mind that it is God who does protect us. And it is only by His divine providence and capabilities that we have what we have. And so if we remove ourselves and kind of bring ourselves back into Palestine during this time period, it was a very agrarian type lifestyle, very much farming. And when Jesus would say, "Give us our daily bread," indeed, bread was daily. You had to fight for it. There weren't the refrigerators. There weren't the things that we could set aside and have and store. It wasn't like what we have now. It was a day-to-day fight. Of course, the more wealthy you were, the more that you had. But there were very few wealthy. The middle class, there was not a large amount of a middle class. And so Jesus is sharing this parable with that in mind, but also from a spiritual aspect. Of course, the most important is from a spiritual aspect. And so we read here about Jesus. This is one of the seven I Ams. We have two of the I Ams here. He's saying that He's the door and He's the shepherd. And so let's read what the Lord would have us to know in John chapter 10. "Verily, verily," which just means truly, 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 "verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." Brothers and sisters, what Jesus is saying is there are, as Brother Louis alluded to, that there are other voices out there. There are other siren songs that are given to us that are to lure us back into sin, lure us back into legalism. Oftentimes in the epistles, legalism was something that the Jewish people struggled with when they became Christians and converts, that they had to put aside their old ways rooted in the Old Testament that were fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And so there are thieves and robbers. They appeal to us, not just with false, overtly false doctrine. Sometimes we think that only Satan uses clear-cut false doctrine. Well, that's kind of easy to identify. If somebody says that Jesus is not God, that's kind of easy to identify as heretical and a false doctrine. If somebody says that there's the certain lifestyles that are against Scripture are okay, God is love, everything's okay, we can identify that very easily. But when there's a pullback into legalism, or there's a pullback into subtle sin, acceptable sins, that's the voice of the thief and the robber that it's sometimes difficult to discern. But Jesus is saying there are those that are thieves and robbers that are there to steal the joy that we have, to steal the relationship, to murk up the relationship that we have, and to apostatize, even for us to depart from the faith. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So what they would have in Palestine at that time, they would have a fold, a gated off, usually by rocks, an area where there would be sheep in there. And there were multiple sheep folds in the same area. If it was just one, it would be pretty easy. The shepherd comes, all his sheep, they'd all come out, no big deal. But that wasn't the case. In the bigger area, if you'd come to a bigger area, they would have multiple sheep folds, and therefore there would be multiple shepherds. So the sheep that were there, they would have to listen and say, okay, I need to listen for a particular shepherd so that I go with that shepherd that is my shepherd. I am not going to go with another shepherd I don't belong to. That's not the cognizance that was going on in their minds, but in their little small little sheep minds, that's what was going on. And so if you imagine there's multiple shepherds, one shepherd comes, there's three folds, there are three different sheep folds, and he calls their name. But he that entereth in by the door of the is the shepherd of the sheep. And the shepherds, oftentimes, they would lay there. They didn't just go home. They would be there to protect the sheep, even through the night. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And so he would call out his sheep by name, and he leads them out. And so the shepherd would call the name, and all the sheep would come out that belonged to the shepherd. Other sheep would not come. Why? Because they don't recognize that voice. He that putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. And a stranger, a false shepherd, another shepherd, they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they don't know the voice of strangers. So what this is telling us is that God knows us, and that we as his children, we can identify the true shepherd. We can identify the true shepherd. Why? Because we recognize his voice. When we were little, even now, some of us that have children, that we call out their names, they look at us. When we call out their names, they recognize our voices. Because they are part of our family. They're part of your own small family or large family, of your nuclear family. They're part of, so when you call their name, they recognize. And they'll turn their heads more when you call them, unless they're ignoring you. But they will. They recognize. They know your voice. And so we, as sheep, when we hear the voice of God, when we hear the shepherd calling, our job is to listen. Our job is to turn the head. Our job is to hear who is calling us and to listen to that voice and follow. And so we see that the good shepherd calls us. Then Jesus said, verse 7, verily, verily, truly, truly. And anytime there's verily, verily, or truly, truly, there's some truth that Jesus wants to emphasize. This is the way the Jewish people, if they wanted to emphasize something, we would underline it in English. We would maybe scream a little louder. In Jewish lore, in the way they would write, they would emphasize it with repeating something, oftentimes twice, if we're emphasized three times. And here we see, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus is the entrance. Brothers and sisters, there is no one else through which we can enter into eternal life than through Jesus. It is only through Jesus Christ and his shed blood upon the cross that regenerates us, that makes us as white as snow. It is only through, my friend, outside of Christ, you can only get to heaven if you go through Jesus Christ, if you humble yourself and repent and turn to Christ. Repent of your sins, turn to him. Acknowledge your need of a Savior. Acknowledge that you can never achieve righteousness, the perfect righteousness that you need. You need absolute, perpetual, perfect righteousness, never sinning, ever, 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 to achieve a relationship with Jesus Christ. Barring that, which none of us can do, Barring that, we need someone to step in the gap. And that is the door. Jesus is the door, the entrance into this protected fold, into this protected area. Jesus says, I am the door of the sheep. All that have ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. You know, this is pretty astounding. What Jesus is saying is, all that have come before me, and you know who's listening during this? The Pharisees, the scribes. They're listening to this, and this is a condemnation on them. And we're reminded of this, what Jesus is hearkening back to is back to Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel has one of the harshest criticisms of Israel and the false shepherds. Verse 30, chapter 34, verse 1, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say to them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be unto the shepherds of Israel that do not feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe with wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have not been strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and cruelty you have ruled them. Brothers and sisters, the dichotomy between the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, the shepherd that opens his arms to all who would enter, as he calls out your name, my friend outside of Christ, he calls out your name and says, Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's a protection that Jesus gives. There's sustenance that he gives. He heals the sick. He binds up the broken. He brought those that were driven away, he brings back. We see that Jesus is a shepherd that goes out after the sheep. He doesn't just discard them. It's not one and done. One mistake, one done. One issue done, and then just discards them. Jesus, the chief shepherd, loves his sheep, does not drive them away. And he goes in verse 4, he seeks after, is sought that which was lost. But how did the shepherds do it? Those that have come before Christ, but with force and cruelty have you ruled them, and they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became meat, they became prey for all the beasts of the field that were scattered. So the sheep were just wandering around. If we know anything about sheep, I know it's been preached about many times, sheep are virtually defenseless. They're weak. They cannot defend themselves against virtually anything. And that's what Jesus provides. Jesus provides protection to the sheep. Who's out after them? And we read, what did the old shepherds do, Jesus say, even recounting probably Ezekiel chapter 34. He says, I am the door, verse 9. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and he shall go in and out. This in and out, what that tells you and what that gives us is the comfort that the divine nature that we have now gives us not only the empowerment to be a different people, to be godly people, to be righteous people, but it gives us the right that are inherited to children of God. We have the protection of the chief shepherd. We have the protection of the chief shepherd. He's what stands between us and the wolves and the bears that are after us. He's the one that protects us. He's the one that we stand behind. He is the chief shepherd. The shepherd would never expect, okay, now I've equipped you enough sheep. Now you go after that bear. You take care of the bear. You're going to fight off that wolf. It's the shepherd that is standing between us. And we see, what's the shepherd standing? What is he protecting us from? The thief comes not but forth to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Almost any job that any of us has, none of us, virtually none of us, would lay down our lives on that job. Whether it's if we need to lock out a piece of equipment, if there's production needs to happen, and what would we do? We would do everything safely and quietly and do all the right things. Jesus goes above and beyond to protect his sheep. Much like, brothers and sisters, if we want to use an image that we can understand, much like what you and I would do with our children.
and much what you and I should do for our brothers and sisters, but we can relate to it much more easily, what we would do for our children. What wouldn't you do, brother and sister? What wouldn't you do for your children? To what end would you go to protect them? How far would you go to protect them? Would you lay down your life? If they're in the middle of the road, a car is coming, and you just could push them away, would you sacrifice your life for them? I know I would. Would without hesitation. All of us, I would venture to say, in the 99th percentile, we would do that. Jesus lays down his life. While we were yet sinners, we read in Ephesians 2, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still opposed to him, he still died for us. And this in and out, kind of going in and out and finding pasture, that tells us that Jesus is going to provide food for us and sustenance and protection for us, take care of us. Does that mean that we're going to have everything that we want? Every new iPhone, every new gadget, every new hobby he's going to fulfill. He's going to do everything at our beck and call? Absolutely not. But he is going to provide for us what we need at that point to be godly men and women, fathers and mothers, brothers and sisters in this church. He's going to give us the sustenance because we're going to be able to go in and out. That in and out means we have freedom. We have freedom to go in and out, to graze, to be. We're not under restriction anymore. We will find pasture. But what's the thief doing? And this is who Jesus is protecting us from. This is what he's keeping us from. The thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he has come that we might have not just life, but that we might have it more abundantly. Not just barely sustaining ourselves. How many of you and I, how many of us, brothers and sisters, do we just barely eke out our spiritual existence? Oh, but on our W-2 and our 1099 and all of our income that we have, we eke out an existence as much as we can. We make sure we maximize the bottom line. Those who do well and are sane. We do that. We want to do that. And that's good. That's okay to do. Never at the expense of the spiritual. Never at the expense of sin. Always doing it honestly. But do we do? And do we have the same diligence? Do we have the same diligence and the same faith in our chief shepherd? Do we have that? And recognize he's here to give us an abundant spiritual life. Even if that might mean our financial life might be less. Even if that might mean that we might have not be able to do everything that we want or that we have been doing. Do we look to maximize? Do you, brothers and sisters, look to maximize the abundant spiritual life that God has for us? Even if it might mean laying down your life, as in some countries is required to lay down your life if you call yourself a Christian. In Islamic countries and in some other countries, in China, in certain areas in China, you can be killed for being a Christian. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to go that far to have that abundant life? Jesus is, and Jesus will, and always has. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, someone that is hired, someone that is works for someone, and is not the shepherd, whose sheep they are not. He doesn't own the sheep. He sees the wolf coming. He counts the cost and says, yeah, I'm not going to battle that wolf today. No desire to get wrestling with a wolf. I'm out of here. That's not the God that we serve. That's not the chief shepherd. He will lay down his life for his sheep. My friend outside of Christ, do you recognize he has laid down his life for you that you can be born again? What do you have to do? Trust in Christ as your Lord and Savior. Place your faith in him. Acknowledge your sin. You have to acknowledge that you are fallen far short of the glory of God. You can't help in him in becoming saved. You cannot help in your righteousness. You must rely totally alone on Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin and turn to him. Place your faith in him. So he will be your good shepherd. The hireling, verse 12,
whose sheep are not, sees the wolf coming, leaves the sheep, flees, and the wolf catches and scatters the sheep. The hireling, verse 13, flees because he's a hireling, and he doesn't care for the sheep. He's getting paid for it. He doesn't love those sheep like the chief shepherd. He doesn't care like the chief shepherd does. And sometimes even we as pastors, while we are all as pastors, as the word implies, it's to pastor the sheep, to be under shepherds. We are to care for the sheep. But even we fall short, of course we fall short, of the true chief shepherd. So sometimes when you see that we as pastors, as ministers, fail to do exactly what we should, that's we run to the same Savior, we run to the same chief shepherd that you run to. The same chief shepherd of our soul, the same one that cares for us and puts salve on the wounds and cleans out the wound. Verse 14 again for emphasis, I am not just the shepherd, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. We know him, he knows us. And as the Father knows me, so I know my Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. This is like the third or second time Jesus has said, I'll lay down my life for the sheep. Do you see how much Jesus loves us? This is not just for salvation, my friend, outside of Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is the chief shepherd laying down his life now for us. How much is God protecting us? How much is the chief shepherd protecting you from sin? How many times is he, even against your will and against intervening in our lives, protecting us, where if we were let to our own devices, how many of us would fall? How many of us would continually sin? But what does Jesus do? He sends under shepherds. He sends pastors. He sends parents. He sends teachers. He sends brothers and sisters to intervene. He sends the Word of God. He sends all these things to intervene in our lives to bring us back, to protect us, because he is the chief shepherd. And other sheep I have of this fold that are not of this fold. And this just goes to show this is a large fold. This is a large church, the universal church that believe in Jesus Christ. Them I also must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be of one fold and one shepherd. They're not of this fold. This is speaking this particularly to the Jewish people. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life again, and I will take it up again. And he says, no man takes this from me. I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it up again, and I take it up again. This is the commandment I have received from my Father. Jesus controls the day of his death. When Pilate said to him, hey, Jesus, don't you know that I have the power to release you? He says, you have no power at all. You have no power at all. I have the power to die when it's time to die. And if my kingdom were of this world, Jesus said later on in John, if my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight. This is not my kingdom. If I wanted to send 72,000 angels, I would have sent 72,000 angels. And we know one angel killed 150,000 in the Old Testament. Imagine the power of 72,000 angels, and let alone the Jesus himself, who when he said, I am him, I am, when they came to take him in the Garden of Gethsemane, what happened to the people? They all fell back at the power of the word of Jesus. This is the shepherd, brothers and sisters. He doesn't just save us. He protects us while we are his children. While we are in the sheepfold, this is the shepherd, even though there's all sorts of arrows being pointed at us from the adversary. And even though our hearts sometimes deceive us, our heart and our flesh does not convert, and it wars against us. We desire to do good, and sometimes we're frustrated because we still fall, we still sin, yet we have this chief shepherd who protects us, lays down his life while we were in the fold. He does this. I lay down my life for the sheep. And then he goes on in verse 26. 27, my sheep, they hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I will give them eternal life. Brothers and sisters, he gives us eternal life. We know we have that eternal life now. How do we know that? Jesus said it in John chapter 17. He said in verse 3, he says, and this is eternal life. What's eternal life? This is eternal life, that you might know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The moment that you know him, that you are truly born again, regenerated, repenting of your sins, some of those all work simultaneously. The moment you know that, brothers and sisters,
We have eternal life. It begins here today. It begins now. For many of us, it began years ago. But for my unconverted friend outside of Christ, it can begin today to know Jesus Christ, to have eternal life, this eternal life that he says in verse 28. And this is the protection that he gives us. He can offer this protection because it all matters is who's the guarantor. If I say, I will protect you, I would hope you would think, how well can Erwin protect me? Not very well. I don't have a massive armament. I have nothing. I'm not that strong. The protection that you get is only as good as who guarantees the protection. When we're little, when we tell our kids we will protect them, we do that as much as we can. We go to the ends of the earth. We protect them. If there's sharp edges at home, we put curved edges. We put stuff in front of the stairs so they don't fall down. We protect them. Why? Because we have more ability to protect them. But as they get older, we don't have that ability. But the chief shepherd says this, that he protects us. He gives us eternal life. What authority does Jesus have? And he even says this, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. So if you imagine Jesus' hand, he's saying, no man's going to pluck the sheep out of my hand. They're protected in my hand. Who's the guarantor of this sheep? It's Jesus. But who's Jesus? He's the chief shepherd. Then he says in verse 29, my Father, which gave them to me, these sheep my Father gave, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Wait a minute. I thought that was Jesus' hand. In verse 28, he says, and I will give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand, Jesus' hand. My Father, which gave them unto me, is greater than all. No man shall be able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The reason Jesus can give this guarantee is he and his Father are one. Jesus, when Jesus says, I is in my Father's hand, he's in my hand, he's saying essentially they're in the same hand, they're in the same protection. Jesus is truly God and truly man. That's why Jesus can say this. Because it's the same Jesus that stood in the burning bush and spoke and said, tell them I am that I am sent him. That's why we have that protection. That's why Jesus can say this with such authority and say, I will protect you. And so the comfort that we have, brothers and sisters, the comfort that we have is that Jesus cares for us so much. And loves us because we are his children, we are his sheep, we're the sheep of his pasture. We recognize his voice, he recognizes us. He goes out after us, he protects us. Between us and the wolf is Jesus protecting us. And no man can pluck us out of his hand. Be thankful for that, brothers and sisters. And let's not play word gymnastics and every now and then we'll say, sometimes in our mind, well, I can jump out of his hand and I can do this and I can do that and I can flaunt God and I can do this. And we flaunt ourselves against, let's leave the scripture be where it is and say, thank you, God. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for having me in your hands. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that when Jesus, that you can say that it's your hand, Jesus, the chief shepherd's hands, the good shepherd's hands, is the same as my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. The creator of the universe, Almighty God, is Jesus Christ. He is the chief shepherd, loves us, cares for us. Whatever difficulty, brothers and sisters, you're going through, whatever trial, temptation, whatever you're going through right now, whatever sin that you haven't been able to overcome, run back to the chief shepherd. Fall on him. Repent of your sins. Turn to him. There's balm in Gilead. There's a protection. There's he has the protection, the ointment to cure, to heal that relationship. Maybe with your parents, maybe with your spouse. Maybe there's some difficulty, whatever it is. Jesus, the chief shepherd, cares for you. He'll be there with you. He wants to heal the wounded heart. My friend outside of Christ, turn to Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can save you from the fires of hell. He's the only one that has felt the ultimate wrath of God when he drank the cup upon the cross. But it's not enough that he drank it. You have to place your faith in him, trust in him. Turn and repent of your sins and be born again so that you will be in the chief shepherd's hands, the Father's hand, Jesus' hand, in the sheepfold who will protect us now and forevermore. Amen.
Dear ones, Jesus is contrasting a hireling and a shepherd. And we can know even our own selves. If we don't own something, we're not concerned about it. That's just how our nature is. We're not concerned about it. We don't own it. A renter, when he rents, typically speaking, or if someone is a litter bug, he's going to throw something out the window. He doesn't care, but he probably wouldn't do that in his own backyard because it's his. And so Jesus is contrasting he as the shepherd. He is the shepherd, he says. I am the good shepherd. But we read, and so he says, the hireling flees from the wolf. The shepherd, the good shepherd, does not. And so what is that wolf? What is that wolf? John, in chapter 1 of this same gospel, says, he says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Sin was rampant. Man was prey to sin. Sin was the wolf. And with that sin, we know sin separates man from God. With sin comes death and judgment. That's the wolf. Sin, death, judgment. Jesus, as the shepherd, it tells us in Isaiah 53, it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He took the sin and drew it all to him. All sin was drawn onto him. Him who knew no sin became sin. That's the good shepherd. And it tells us here, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. John says, behold, the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. The good shepherd became the lamb. The shepherd is the lamb. He draws sin all onto him. And now it is up to you and me to believe in Jesus Christ. Because death isn't something. Sin brings death. Death brings judgment. Death doesn't. I always like saying when someone dies, it's so sudden. It's so like you leave your shoes where they're at. That's where they're going to be fine. There's no more of nothing. Life is over. And it's not just from this death now, it just stops you in your tracks and everything is over into nothingness. No, it takes you to the judgment. It takes you, the death now takes you to the judgment. And what does Hebrew say? This is what the he says it is. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. So sin, death, and judgment. Apostle Paul says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He who became sin, who drew the wolf onto him, so that we as the sheep could be free, he gives us life. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Dear ones, we read this morning of that divine power. It's in Jesus Christ. He gives victory. So that we could also say, as Apostle Paul said, O death, where is your sting? Grave, where's your victory? It would have been a tie if Jesus would have just died. He would have took sin and died and stayed dead. There's no victory. No, in 3 days, he rose again. He rose again and has victory over death. He has victory over sin. And he gives that to us. All you and I have to do is believe and allow that divine power to work in us, to create in us that new man, that new divine nature that we heard of. May God bless his word this day upon our hearts. Amen.